Brad. Joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is the mayor of Hartford, Mayor Luke Bronin. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Dan. Brad, good to be with you guys again.
Nice to see you here.
A lot of things to talk about. Let's begin with Dillon Stadium. I guess that's coming up for bonding on Friday. What can you tell us about that?
So this is, the Capital Region Development Authority led an RFP process to just see what interest was out there. And it turns out there's a lot of interest. You know, the city of Hartford and the Hartford area are actually one of the best potential markets for professional soccer in the entire country, based on viewership, based on demographics. And so there is there was a team, a USL ownership team, very, very serious, credible, well-capitalized local ownership team that CRDA identified as the primary potential licensee for this. And CRDA's made a request to the State Bonding Commission, and they're considering that on Friday. You know, I think, look, this gets back to the issue that we've talked about many times, which is if we want to have a strong state where we can keep our young people, where we can be competitive, you got to make sure you got strong and vibrant cities where there are things going on, where there's activity. And, the possibility of taking what was once a really important community asset that was also a place where it had high-profile concerts and lots of other activities for many, many years, but has fallen into disrepair. To bring that back, both as a community asset and as a place where you're going to have thousands of fans coming in to see a professional soccer team, on a number of nights every year, is something that I think is good for the whole region.
And that would help that area, too, because it's in the vicinity of Colt, right?
Oh, and, Coltsville is an area that's just been growing like crazy. If you look at what's happened down in Coltsville, the old Colt Armories, what was not all that long ago, vacant, blighted property, historic property, but vacant and blighted, it's now come back to life, both as residential and as a commercial center. There's lots of investment coming in there. You just had the Hooker Brewery just opened a tasted room down there, which is doing great. And so that's a perfect example of a neighborhood that is coming back.
Is there a time span on when you want to get things done? Now, this whole thing with the baseball park, it's a big hit. Baseball is a huge hit. How long is that going to take?
The development, you mean?
The develop, yeah.
Do you mean down at Dillon, or do you mean? The development around the baseball park. Well, look, we have an RFP out right now, soliciting interest. See what the market thinks makes sense to build around that ballpark.
You extended that, right?
We extended that by 2 weeks. I think that it's going to take a couple of years. It's going to take a few years to get that done. That's a major project, and as it was all tangled up with the mess that we had to clean up when we took office 2 years ago, because the contractor who was given the baseball park development was also given all the development rights around it, and we had to fire them, terminate them on that on those parcels. We're now moving forward with that process, but
even though it's still in court,
it's going to take a little bit of time.
Even though it's still in court, you're able to move forward.
Well,
I'm
very confident about the city's ultimate legal position. Mm-hmm. I am very, very confident, just as I was with the ballpark. A lot of people thought that we were taking a big risk by firing the developer, and we were taking a risk, but it was the right thing to do. My view is, that it's very clear that the city's in the right about the parcels around the ballpark, that these guys, Center Plan, Landino, that they didn't deliver on their commitments, that they fell short of their, contractual obligations. And I think that it's clear that the city will have development rights. Our view, we have those development rights already. But right now we're out talking to the market and seeing what they want to do there.
What about the goal? Is it mixed use in that area? Would you like to see a business, some retail, housing? What would you like to see?
I think it probably will be mixed use. My guess is that it'll be a good amount of residential with some commercial, retail, other things mixed in. But again, that's why you go out with an RFP, because we shouldn't be substituting our judgment for investors and developers and what the market thinks makes the most sense. Let's see what they come back with. But my guess is that it's going to be a mix of residential and other uses.
Now, you have been really going at it since you've been mayor. Are you going to stay mayor, or are you going to run for governor? What are you going to do, and when are you going to tell us?
I've got an exploratory committee exploring to run for governor. I've been talking with Democratic town committees all around the state. I've been getting very good feedback. And if I decide to run for governor, I'm still going to be mayor. You know, the only time I would not be mayor is if I won the governor's race in January of 2019 and get sworn in. And, you know, if that were to happen, you know, I've got a very strong partner in our current city council president, our new city council president as of a couple of months ago. And as you know, we have an accountability board that I fought to make sure got established so that we can all have confidence that we stay the course in the years ahead.
Now, as far as the governor's race is concerned, has your perspective changed since Susan Bisowitz formed an exploratory committee?
Well, to say Susan Bisowitz has been in the governor's race for months now. I was a little puzzled by the announcement last week or why it got covered. She's been exploring the governor's race for probably longer than I have. So, no, my perspective has not changed.
Okay. What sets you apart from the Democratic field?
Well, look, again, I'm exploring as many of the other candidates are exploring. So we're getting out and we're talking to the town committees, to delegates, to voters, to residents all around the state. But, look, if I decide to become a full candidate, I think one of the things that's clear is that we need change in this state, and we need to make sure that we've got a governor who's not afraid to make change, who's not afraid to be honest and transparent about the challenges we faced, and not afraid to be bold and unafraid of putting out some really both brave solutions to what we face, but also laying out a path to growth. And what I would say is, I think I'm the only person exploring it, thinking about it, running, who's actually had to tackle a crisis in government, who's actually made change, and whose record you can look at and say, yeah, that's somebody who's been transparent and honest and bold in the way they approach the problem.
Do you like being mayor?
I love it. I love it. You know, I don't like it every day, but I love it every day. You know, it's a great job because it's a great city, and I believe in what we're doing. And as you know, we've had to deal with what is probably the largest fiscal crisis in our state's history, certainly the largest fiscal crisis in our capital city's history, and deal with it by building partnerships that a lot of people didn't think possible. You know, whether that was partnerships with our labor unions and making some very, very significant changes with big savings in the near term and structural changes in the long term, whether it's by reengaging our businesses, big and small, including our three largest insurance companies, whether it's by building partnerships with legislators on both sides of the aisle. And I tell you what, the next governor is going to face massive challenges that are going to require the ability to build those same kinds of partnerships. And at the same time, I think the most important thing is what we've done in Hartford is we've dealt with this crisis, but we have not allowed our city to be defined by crisis. Because even as we've dealt with this problem, we have cultivated a revitalization, and you can feel a different level of energy and optimism and confidence in the future of the city.
Okay, hold those thoughts. The mayor of Hartford with us, Brad.
18 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, time to check and see how the bumper-to-bumper crowd is doing. Brought to you by my favorite insurance company, Bouvier Insurance of Hartford. But they're all over Connecticut. They really are. They've done a tremendous job. If you need help, Bouvier is there for you. When you need the direction as far as what we're talking about right now, Cindy Waitman is there for you. And here she is. Cindy, how's the movement right now of the traffic?
Brad, we do have slowdowns out there, especially on 84 both ways through Waterbury, eastbound exits 41 out to I-91, westbound 84 is going to crawl Governor Street to Sigourney Street, northbound 91 busy from Silasian Highway up towards Airport Road, heading to Wethersfield, southbound you're at a crawl exit 38 down to I-84, bumper-to-bumper traffic, and 175 in Newington with emergency repairs near Main Street, it's down to one lane, 95 south exit 58, accident on the on-ramp in Guilford, and 84 east into exit 71 in Willington. Accident involving two tractor-trailers, still partially blocking up the right lane and the shoulder. This report is brought to you by the Positive Coaching Alliance. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help PCA, a national nonprofit organization, develop better athletes and better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:34 with your last traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
And thank you, Cindy. Well, how about it? How about it? The new Balance shoes. Don't you love them? Oh, my, my, my. Evergreen Walk, South Windsor, the Avon Marketplace, 380 West Main Street, Route 44 in Avon. Michael DeCivio. Yes, he is the man. No doubt about it. And the people just love him. He's got, when you go in to Evergreen Walk in South Windsor or the Avon Marketplace in Avon, you're going to say, what? That many shoes? That's right. Running, walking, tennis, soccer, baseball, you name them, he's got them. And sneakers that the kids absolutely flip out of. And I'll tell you this, New Balance 928s. Fellas, you got to try them. You really do. Real leather. When you put them on, okay, you're going to say, wow, I've never felt anything like this before. Yes, and you know something? He has an immense inventory. And everything, I want to tell you, when you go in and you try the shoes on, you walk around the shop, okay, you'll know right away what I'm talking about. You've got to meet Michael, and you've got to get yourself a pair, and you're going to feel so much better and not as tired. Not as tired. No, nothing like New Balance shoes. Evergreen Walk, South Windsor, the Avon Marketplace in Avon.
Brad, back in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, the mayor of Hartford, Luke Bronin, making his monthly visit to our studios, and we're going to take a phone call, 888-574-2723. Barbara in Hartford, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
Hi, Mayor Bronin. How are you?
I'm good, Barbara. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Hey, listen, Mayor, myself and my neighbors have an issue that has been addressed through certain avenues,
okay.
But the situation just doesn't seem to take and get resolved. You're talking about cleaning up the city and this and that. We are concerned about these guys that come through our neighborhoods and go through the recycle bins. Number one, it's a safety hazard. Number two, it's a health hazard. And number three, you talk about cleaning up the city. You like seeing those guys coming down the streets in the afternoon or at night when, like last week, we were going to the Bushnell and it was dark and rainy and there was one going to the Stop and Shop into Weathersfield and it was so dark and his cart was so big and his bags were all black, you couldn't even see him. And everybody was going around him. A couple of people almost hit him. And I talked to somebody in the legislature that's in our district. His associate, and he got a letter for me that says that this is against the law for them to go through our recycle bins.
Well, what is your question? What is your question?
I want to know how we can alleviate these guys going through our neighborhoods and being on the streets with these big carts with these bottles and everything in them.
Mr. Mayor.
Barbara, thanks. Thanks for the call. Look, I understand what you're saying. I understand your concern, but to me, this is a much, much deeper problem. You know, it's a problem of poverty. It's a problem of addiction. This is something that communities all across the country, and certainly cities all across the country, are seeing.
Oh, yes.
And
you're right.
And I'll be honest with you, I think we need as a state and as a country to get a lot more serious about dealing with those problems. You know, I'm not saying that everybody who's going through a recycling bin has an addiction problem, but I will tell you the vast majority of panhandlers that we're seeing, they have addiction problems, that they're struggling with opioid addiction. And as a country, we haven't dedicated anything meaningful to treatment. You know, we've talked before, and I know we disagree. I'm talking now to Brad and Dan about, you know, marijuana legalization. I think that the country is going that way, and we should follow. But I also believe that a significant amount of revenue from legalization, taxation of recreational marijuana should be dedicated to opioid addiction treatment, because we have got to start addressing that problem in a more serious way with real resources. And I think that's one responsible way to do it.
Do we have any hint that some of that $6 billion in this new budget will make its way towards Hartford?
Well, let's see. Let's see. I hope so. I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bit about, we've had some, since we last chatted, some fatal hit-and-run accidents in Hartford.
Big
and
time.
Some issues in that area. And there seems to be the mindset, one of the reasons is there's not enough people working in the police department. What do you say to that?
Well, look, you know, one of the let me say a couple of things. There's... Our team, our police, department has actually been very aggressive with traffic enforcement. They've gotten a number of DUI grants that have allowed them to step up DUI enforcement, speed enforcement. We've worked with our neighborhoods over the last year to identify those priority spots in every single neighborhood for speed bumps, speed tables. But there's no question that there's more we need to do. On the police recruitment front, as you know, we've been recruiting very, very aggressively. Unfortunately, the city hadn't recruited for many, many years, at least not on the level that was necessary to prepare for all the police officers who were nearing retirement age. So we are swimming against the tide, but we are making some real progress. We've brought in 50 officers over the last couple of years. We've got a new recruitment class coming in very soon and then another one scheduled for the summer. So that's something that we're stepping up. But the other thing I would say is that this is tied back into the issue of drug and alcohol abuse, because a number of the speeding incidents are not just speeding, they're actually impaired driving.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. John in Hartford, welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I was just going to ask Mayor Bronin, last month with the car accidents, death that took place in Hartford, why didn't he show, I guess, a preference or leadership level to meet with people in the community? At least I was not aware that you had any press conferences last month during the seriousness of many car deaths that took place.
Okay, so, let's have the mayor.
Did you have anything planned, Mayor Bronin?
Well, look, one of the things I would say is that I understand what you're saying. I don't know that press conferences necessarily means leadership. I think the real question is, what are we doing about it? And we have worked very closely with our police department to lay out both what we've done and what we're doing. I'm also having a town hall. I'm sorry I didn't get your name, sir, but I'm having a town hall next Saturday that's going to be at the Wilson Gray YMCA, and this is one of the issues that I plan to talk about. So I'd invite you to come there. As you know, I do town halls every single month, and this is a town hall that I plan to spend a significant amount of time talking about the traffic issues. The other thing I would say, these are heartbreaking tragedies. You know, I was at the funeral last week of one of the victims of one of these accidents, who was a young mother, and it was heartbreaking. She leaves behind a 12-year-old son who's going to grow up without his mother. And I can promise that I take this issue very, very seriously, and I hope you come to the town hall where we can have an open conversation.
When
about
is that
it.
Again?
It's this. I don't want to get the time wrong. I don't know the time off the top of my head, but if you go to the City Hall website, you can find it. It's this Saturday.
It's this Saturday.
I believe it's the 20. It's.
Okay, then it's a week from Saturday, because this Saturday is the 17th, so that would be the 24th.
I will check my calendar as we're sitting here, and I'll tell you the answer.
Good. Terrific.
He got more but calendars than stuff.
That's why he's the mayor, Brad.
This Saturday, the 17th.
Okay, this Saturday.
At 1 p.m. at the Wilson Gray YMCA. And so I invite everybody to come. You know, the reason I do these town halls is because I think it's really important to have just open, honest conversations, you know, and not to shy away from anything. And it's, I think, one of the biggest mistakes that any leader in government can make is to kind of hold themselves up in their office and not hear from folks. And so that's why I do these town halls every month.
Okay, let's see if we can get in one more question for the mayor, and that's, who do we have, Eric? Joe in Newington. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, can you name three accomplishments, not things you're working on, but what have you accomplished? Three
okay.
things.
All right,
sure.
Thanks. That's Mark in Hartford. Go ahead. Right. Mark in West Hartford.
All right. Mark, good to talk to you again, Mark, I think.
Good to talk to him a lot.
I think many times. Yeah. So, look, one thing, we inherited a mess on a ballpark. We got it done without putting the burden on the Hartford taxpayers to finish it, and we got it done in a way that's made it one of the most successful minor league ballparks in the country. Something that I didn't start, a mess I had to clean up, but I think we cleaned it up in exactly the way you'd want your government to do it. Number two, we've dealt with this fiscal crisis without raising taxes in a city that's already overtaxed. You know, one of the things I said from the start is prior administrations did two things. They kick the can down the road by delaying debt payments and things like that, and they raise taxes, and I refuse to do either one. And I think we are a couple months away from being able to say for the first time in decades that we're looking at not just a balanced budget next year, but a sustainable path for at least the next 5 years.
Running out of time quickly. Number three.
Number three is I think we have promoted the continued to promote the development and revitalization. So if you look at right now down on Pearl Street, you've got two buildings that have been vacant for 30 years that are being brought back to life with private investment. And just like we talked about in Coatesville earlier, we're seeing the same all around the city.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, we're out of time.
Hey. Good to be with you guys.
Thank you.
See you next month.
Take care.
See you soon.
You bet. It's 8:30. We'll be back.